Friday, November 13th, 2009, and welcome to episode 102 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. That's right, it's Friday the 13th, so we'll see if we can make it through today's show without the gremlin showing up. It's been another busy week at the ITC and in the EdTech world in general. We have another interview for you today, and I will introduce our guest in a few minutes, but first we have a few items in the news to discuss. In the world of EdTech this week, Amazon released the Kindle for the PC beta ebook software. I have downloaded and installed Kindle for the PC on a laptop computer. The whole process took less than 2 minutes, and once I logged into my Amazon account, I was able to see all the books I had purchased in the archive section of the software and was able to download them locally to the laptop. The Kindle for the PC interface is very simple and clean. This is beta software, so there will be additional changes in the future, but it is currently very functional and gives me another option of reading previously purchased content. I really do believe this event is a tipping point for the ebook readers, because now any of the billion PC users out there now have a way of purchasing and viewing an ebook using free software. Of course, you still have to purchase the content from Amazon, but the hurdle of accessing ebooks has now diminished with the release of this free software. On a personal note, I recently purchased the new Droid smartphone from Verizon, and I'm very happy with it so far. My cell phone contract expired a couple of months ago, and I have been researching my options. Since I currently use the Verizon network, the new Droid phone was a logical choice. The Droid uses the new Android 2.0 software and comes with free built-in Google Maps navigation, and this feature with free turn-by-turn GPS directions closed the deal for me. The App Store has approximately 10,000 apps, and that will keep me busy for a while as I explore the functionality of the Droid. A third item of interest this week involves the 5 Kodak ZI-8 cameras that the ITC recently ordered. I made the Kodak ZI-8 video camera my technology pick of the week on the last episode of Tech Talk for Teachers, and now that I've had a chance to get my hands on one and use it, my views have not changed. The ZI-8 offers high-quality HD video recording and, more importantly, the ability to plug in an external microphone that will allow for higher-quality audio recording. In my initial test, I am quite pleased with both the video quality and the audio quality. My only complaint is that the ZI-8 does not ship with an SD card, which is required to record HD video. I knew this in advance, so we ordered 16GB SD cards along with the cameras, but I imagine many people purchasing the ZI-8 will be disappointed to find out they have to go back to the store to purchase an SD card before they can even use the camera out of the box. Now on to our interview for today. Today we have another interview. I would like to welcome Dr. James Harden to the studios here, better known as my office. So Dr. Harden is one of our instructors in the Early Childhood, Elementary, and Middle Level Education Department. Eastern Illinois University recently held a diversity conference. So I've invited Dr. Harden in this morning to talk a little bit about it, and we'll also talk a little bit about technology and things. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grissom. I'm a friend of ITC, so I guess I would consider myself James as opposed to Dr. Harden.
That'll work, and Tom's fine for me. So
thank you. Well, this past Saturday, we had a diversity conference here, and from what I gather, it's the first of its kind here at Eastern Illinois University. The way that we structured things was we had, I think, 9 different presentations given by teachers and administrators from throughout the state of Illinois. We had a couple come down from the Chicago area. We had a principal from Arcola Elementary School with one of her second-year teachers. We had a couple of university faculty members. We really tried to shy away from the university faculty members because students have access to these professors all of the time. So we tried to get some more frontline defense in, if I could say that, some teachers that are in the field.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's who we truly need to hear a little bit more from in this process of educating pre-service teachers.
How many approximately attended?
I think we had a good turnout, especially for the first time. We had approximately, well, I can tell you, we had 184 sign
wow.
up.
Very
we
nice.
Had 100 and we peaked at 140 students.
Great.
I don't know, you know, sickness or too early Saturday morning or what it could have been.
Well, that's great, especially for a Saturday, too.
Yes, we missed a few. But it was a free conference, and it's something that I'm certain we will do again and again. We've had some pretty good reviews from not only the students but the presenters involved. I know the dean, Dean Jackman, is very excited about the possibility of this happening over and over again, and lots of support from the university faculty, including my department chair, Dr. Joy Russell. It was a great time with a great turnout, and I'm sure it will happen again.
What type of sessions and things did you have? What was the schedule like?
The sessions were, each student was able to attend three sessions of the nine offered. I'll just go through some of the ones off the top of my head. There was a session called It's Real in the Field. That was about classroom management. Beyond Stereotypes, that dealt with Latino populations. There was Little Things That Every Teacher Should Know. There was Teaching Tools for Rural Schools. There was The Few, the Proud, the Male Elementary Teacher. There was one just Bridging the Diversity Gap. So we tried to look at diversity from a few different perspectives. We have to get beyond the diversity as being a dichotomy, just black, white. Looked at all kinds of diversities, be it underrepresentation of males in the elementary, of course, the newest population of diverse, I shouldn't say the newest, but maybe the largest growing, the fastest growing population, and that is the Mexican population that we have in Illinois right now. Of course, we looked at the black-white thing. We also looked at diversity of learning and learning styles and learning strategies and teaching strategies. And that's why, you know, I'm really excited about being here this morning, because looking at how technology is a part of diversity and some of the different strategies we can use to teach children, as opposed to just, you know, looking at diversity as the typical thing that we have done for so long.
Right. And, you know, I completely agree. Technology holds so much promise for this. You know, we do a number of things here. The Tech Talk for Teachers, over the last, 102 episodes, so it adds up quick. But, you know, we try highlighting those. And it's taking that technology and putting it in the hands of the teacher to use it as a tool out there. And we've got wonderful technologies out there now, free technologies like the Skype, the audio and the video conferencing and things that hold so much potential. In fact, we're day after Veterans Day. I just saw one of the persons I was following on Twitter invited some World War II vets in yesterday. And then today we had, there goes my phone. I don't know if you could hear that or not.
The droid. I'm jealous already.
I forgot to put that on silence. So. Today they Skype someone in from Iraq in one of the K-12 classrooms out there. So those potential, you know, we've done this for a number of years as well with the Polycom equipment. But what is so promising today is you can do it on a $300 netbook. It's just amazing, you know, how far we've come.
I am, you know, I'm enthused, but I'm also disappointed. And I'm enthused in the sense that there's so much technology out there for free. I find myself sometimes being disappointed in the use of that technology. I think sometimes I see with my pre-service teachers, they throw a PowerPoint together really quickly and call it technology. Or they'll throw a bell or whistle into a PowerPoint with the little shoo, shoo, shoo. Right. You know, a little swinging and swaying words and text. And they call it technology. And I think to them, you know, that's just a presentation tool. You would have been equally as effective and maybe a lot less effort just writing that information on the board.
Right.
As opposed to using some of the technologies. You know, I was able to use and witness some different technologies in the diversity conference. For example, I asked some questions about, well, just kind of some evaluation questions. During the opening session, I asked the students, did they feel a diversity conference was necessary? And rather than raise their hands, we used the poll everywhere where the students were able to use their cell phones.
Right.
And this being a free application on a trial basis.
Right. Or, you know, for up to 30 users.
For up to 30 users. And the students, those who were not familiar with poll everywhere, were just simply amazed. Oh my goodness, this is free, and it's with a cell phone. And how culturally relevant in a time where everyone has a cell phone to use that. But it wasn't only the use of that for the cultural perspective. It allowed for anonymity.
Right.
Students could honestly answer questions without being afraid to say that.
Right.
Yes,
state their opinion.
Absolutely. Whatever that opinion was. Specific to the diversity conference, had you ever used a slur that you'd found offensive? Or has someone ever said something offensive to you? And they could answer honestly.
Right.
Without it, you know, being tainted. we offered, we didn't get to use it, but we did offer Skype mm-hmm. to different people, you know, that were not able to be a part, offered, but no one took us up on that. Even a few different university professors or
faculty, staff.
Faculty, thank you, that's the word. Different university faculty that weren't able to attend. I did offer, you know, hey, we can Skype you in for free and it'll only take a couple seconds. And
I think, you know, that's the hurdle. I almost started to say newness of it, but it's been around for a number of years now.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's in my position, I often find myself that I'm guilty, like poll everywhere, you know.
Yes.
I don't know, that was one of our former tech picks of the week, like 2 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. it's been around for a while, but yet it holds so much potential for an application just like you mentioned. That's where it shines, where you want that anonymous input. I would call that a low threshold technology too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to break the bank. We're using the existing technologies that the students have.
Yes.
And they're very comfortable texting, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, every we see that every day. So, I mean, there's no hurdle there at all. Now, Skype is, I don't know what it is. I mean, most laptops and things today come with a webcam. We have done several things with it, but it's just not as everyday as what I think I would like to see for the potential that it has.
And I agree with you. I use Skype at home, and I don't have an extensive phone book, but of course, you know, I have two children. I have a 2-year-old and a 9-month-old, and I was able to finally convince my parents to use Skype. Mm-hmm. And whenever my son wants to see Granny,
right,
he comes to the computer and says, Granny, and he points to it, and we give her a call.
And that's the key for any technology, finding that need. And then it suddenly becomes relevant.
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't have that relevancy, you know, I think that's where it kind of falls on deaf ears sometimes.
And we use Skype a ton at my house just for that reason. And as of right now, we've paid exactly $0.
Right.
Because it's a free service.
It's hard to be free. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, very, 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 very good usage of technology. And I think I agree with you, and maybe because I am a friend of ITC, as I said earlier, but I just wish there were ways where teachers could find, and not necessarily find, but just use the available free technologies.
Obviously, it always comes back to time. I mean, that's what we're always talking about as teachers and having so much to do in the classroom. The time and the opportunity, but also on the K-12 side of things, we have to deal with the administrative policies and things and mm-hmm. something. And I've had various different experiences with that. It's, you know, we have a number of partner schools that we work with, and we've done a number of video conferences, but every school treats it a little bit differently. Some people treat it as a field trip and requires a permission slip.
Sure.
Coming through, you know, the privacy issues and showing a video and things in the classroom. Now, you know, I think we're gradually evolving from that, but those are issues that we seem to have to address, you know, whenever we bring that into a new situation.
And I think that's a very valid point. I can tell you from my time as a middle school administrator some years back, we would get into these deep philosophical conversations about how education must evolve. And I talk to my students today, my pre-service teachers, and say, there's a good chance there are going to be a lot of changes in education in the, you know, in your lifetime of being a teacher, because the changes are necessary. A few years ago, even 5 years ago, when I was working in the public schools, I remember every now and then, maybe 10% of the students in my middle school had a cell phone. I stepped back into that cell phone to visit former colleagues and friends, and I bet 90% of the students have cell phones
right.
now.
And down to the elementary level, first and second graders bring
cell
phones to school.
You know, they are no longer, even though they are not legal in schools,
well, yeah.
most schools' policies will say just leave them in your locker
right.
or something, or we're not responsible for them.
Right.
You know, so at some point we're going to have to evolve because our students have evolved.
Right. What are plans in the future? You said you think in the spring or next year, or what were the...
I am very torn. I would love to do spring just because I love the idea of students talking with in-service teachers. You know,
right.
I love to bridge that gap between pre-service and in-service. And I believe there's actually a few university initiatives. I saw something yesterday about infusing curriculum,
mm-hmm.
and it was just that concept of having our students work a little bit more closely with in-service teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see something happen in the spring. Maybe not diversity per se,
right?
But some kind of a conference for our students based in the reality of you're going to be a teacher here in the next year and a half to 2 years, and this is what you're going to need to do, and this is what you're going to need to know.
Right. And, you know, be happy to work with you on doing some of the things that we've talked about, you know, a little bit offline.
Absolutely.
And continue on doing that, because I think that's where we can broaden the experience and get some of those, you know, different perspectives and things.
Yes.
And share, and being that on the technology side, making things digitally available, it's so easy to share, no cost, you know.
The online courses, and I mean, we are just, we cannot deny what our new culture is.
Right.
I think all the way down to my son, 2 years old, he can use a computer. He can do a lot on a computer that you wouldn't imagine.
Right. And that's a daily thing. Nothing fancy, nothing extraordinary about it. Just everyday life.
That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know life without it.
Right.
And actually we are, I have plans with his childcare facility. We are going to Skype in some story time where one of the avatars is going to be, you know, a dragon or something of the sort, and I will do the voicing, and they will watch it on the video, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Just some fun things just to introduce more kids to the culture of technology. I mean, I shouldn't even say introduce, but just to make it available to more students all of the time, to make it just weave it into their daily existence just a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anything else you want to say to wrap up here on the diversity side and your conference? And it sounds like it was wonderfully successful, and I'm glad so many pre-service teachers had the opportunity to attend. So that's great news.
This is something that, as I said, it's only going to get larger, but I hope we can retain the sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want it to be something where we all show up in shirt and tie and it becomes a big production.
Right.
We want it to be really
real.
Very real. Thank you. And more so than a diversity conference, we should have called it just a reality conference. Just kind of, maybe that's what we'll call the next one, the reality check.
Yeah.
These are the students you're going to see, and these are the needs that they bring, and these are some ideas on how to serve these students.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in this morning. And
thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Again, I am not only a friend of the ITC, I am a fan of Tech Talk for Teachers, and I'm anxious to hear I'm anxious to see that droid in action.
Yeah. So far, so good. Like I said, I really like it. As a listener of Tech Talk for Teachers, you know I'm a huge fan of netbooks. I don't think it's going to replace my netbook because of the limitations of the keyboard and what you can do with a lot of things. We'll bring some more. I've got a lot of things to share with this in future episodes. So,
well, again, I appreciate your time, and I thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My technology pick of the week this week is the beta version of the Kindle for PC software. I have provided a link in the show notes where you can download Kindle for PC beta to give it a try if you would like. Kindle for PC allows you to read purchased ebooks from the Amazon store on a personal computer. Amazon has sold many Kindles, but the Kindles are dedicated devices for reading ebooks and are expensive for a single-use device. The Kindle for the PC software will allow you to read purchased ebooks on your computer. The jury is still out whether most people will find reading an ebook on a personal computer enjoyable, but it does open the market for ebook readers, and it is no longer necessary to spend money on a dedicated reading device such as the Kindle. It also offers the ability to display color, something the Kindle has not offered to date. The Kindle does offer inking technology that seems to be easier on your eyes to read, so there may still be a place for the Kindle device depending upon your preferences. I want to thank Dr. James Harden for the interview today and sharing some of his thoughts on the recent diversity conference held at EIU, as well as how he utilizes new technologies in the classroom with pre-service teachers. That wraps it up for episode 102 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at www.eiu.edu/ITC. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.